Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today is a sad day at Denver Bible Church, for one of our families has lost one of their sons, a young man, who leaves behind many, many people who care so deeply for him and for his family. And so this is a sad day, but how thankful we are to be a people who grieve but with hope. For those who have no hope, like many of the evolutionists, people who think that we are animals, that we've evolved from animals, many agnostics and all of the atheists, they think that beyond this life, there is only nothingness. They grieve without hope. We who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we grieve in hope, in the certain knowledge that our Savior has risen from the dead, and therefore all those who have come to him will never be cast out. He told us that. For we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Imagine that. The Apostle Paul wrote that to the Ephesians. And by the way, we've gone to Ephesus in Turkey. We've gone there to learn about the Bible on location. And you could learn about that, too, in our Bible Tour of Turkey, our MP3 CD that you could get online at kgov.com. Well, Paul wrote to the Ephesians that believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. So we share the blessed hope for our dear brother who has gone home one last time, this time gone home to be with the Lord. Now think about atheists who don't believe in God. And when their loved one dies, they say that, well, I love this person, but now they no longer exist. But God, the God who made us, he's the God of bullfrogs and butterflies. And they've both been born again, you know. Well, if you get my meaning, figuratively speaking, bullfrogs and butterflies, I love the description of God's creation of butterflies. If you look at how each butterfly comes into existence, how they come from a caterpillar that liquefies itself inside of a chrysalis. In fact, why don't we talk about that in a moment, about caterpillars becoming butterflies and how impossible that would be in the theory of evolution, Darwinism? Because a caterpillar, it weaves this cocoon-like object around it. It's called the chrysalis. And inside of it, it liquefies itself. It's like eating yourself and digesting yourself. You liquefy yourself. So first of all, how do you survive that? Like the first time caterpillars are doing that. So they get this idea to put a cocoon thing around them, hang upside down, which give you a headache, and then literally liquefy yourself. You think then you'll be dead, right? And then they have to rebuild themselves into a totally different kind of creature with virtually all different vital organs. And a vital organ, if you think about it, it's vital. How does a vital organ evolve? Like without a vital organ, you're dead. So it has to liquefy itself, which you would think first time through be a killer. And then it has to rebuild itself into a beautiful creature with wings and able to fly and soar above all those other caterpillars still on the ground. Like, how does that evolve? But the Creator God who made us, he made us so that we can soar like that. After we die, if we trust in him, we could live forever and soar up into the heavens with him, the one who made us. In a moment, I'd like to talk a bit more about the caterpillar and the butterfly. But think about it. Jesus is the creator, and he created living things, all living things. He even created Russ Holmes from Alaska. He created everybody, everything. And so everything exists with his fingerprint, his stamp on all that he made, like a painter who puts his signature on every work of art, or a sculptor. You can even look at your own fingerprint. You know, you can. Even, yes, you. If you're listening to this show right now, you can look at your own fingerprint. Nope, not you, Pops. You got to keep your eyes on the road. But hey, Mom, Dominic, Susie, Sarah, why don't you all go ahead and look at your fingerprints right now, and you'll see the patterns, beautiful swirling patterns. That is only if you have really good eyes, right? Maybe, Grandma, maybe you can't see your fingerprints. But young kids, especially anyone who's, say, 10 years old or 12 or 14, usually us older people, we need a magnifying glass. But kids, anybody in the studio audience, could you guys see your fingerprint? Could you? Okay. One, how old are you? What's your name, sir? Nathaniel. Nathaniel is 25. He could see his fingerprints. And you don't want to give your age, sir? 58. 58. You cannot see your fingerprints. Well, for the young people listening, like 10-year-old Dominic's, 12-year-old Susie's, 14-year-old Sarah's, if you look at your fingers carefully, you could probably see your fingerprints and think about whether or not we would have fingerprints if there were no God. If there were no God, the people who teach us that there's no God, no creator, and we just all evolved, all the animals evolved, the plants, all the bacteria, the mushrooms, and human beings, we all evolved. And we say, well, we're so sophisticated. How would all our amazing body parts, like our eyes and our hearing and all, and the taste buds on your tongue, I mean, isn't it neat that you could have like a candy bar instead of lunch, and you might love it? I mean, our taste buds, God, well, it's probably better usually to have lunch and not a candy bar. But God even gave us taste buds so we could enjoy putting the fuel into our bodies so we can live. How is it, we say, how is it that by natural cause and effect and random changes, and then, yes, they say natural selection and all, how is it that you can get these sophisticated systems that work so well, like fingerprints? And they say, oh, well, here's how. Each little change helps you to survive better. Well, think about that, and I'd like to get back to that in a moment, too, because I think once you think about it, your fingerprint system, the system of a different fingerprint design on every human being in the world, in a design that stays the same from when you're a baby in your mother's womb until you live a full life at an old age. If you die and the police take your fingerprints, they're the same as the fingerprints on your birth certificate when you were a baby 80 years earlier. Even if you cut your fingers in the meantime, usually the fingerprints survive. Even if you burned your fingers, usually the fingerprints, they reemerge. And so there's this amazing system in our bodies just to put fingerprints on us. And how would that system help a creature survive? What, baboons out in the wild, koala bears, they have police departments and they fingerprint suspects to crimes? No, they don't do that. Fingerprints are not going to help an animal survive. So when you look at a fingerprint, you realize that that is a fingerprint of God. Because without God, we would not have fingerprints. I'd like to think more about that in a moment, too, along with the caterpillars and butterflies. But bullfrogs and butterflies, they've both been born again, in a manner of speaking. I don't mean literally. I mean, the Creator God who made them, he's a God of new life, a new creation, new beginning. So think about an amphibian like a bullfrog. Does it start out its life as a bullfrog? No, it starts out as a tadpole, and it lives in the water. And then it emerges from beneath the water as a frog, and it lives on lily pads and rocks and in and around the shores on streams and lakes. Or better yet, better than a bullfrog even, as Jesus described a seed of grain, a plant seed, in John chapter 12, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." And he was talking about in the next verse, he was saying, if you believe in him, then you'll have eternal life. So when you die and you are buried, your loved ones, they'll miss you, but that's not the end of your life. Like a seed being buried into the ground, it could become a great oak tree. An acorn is buried, and that's not the end of it. It becomes a great oak tree, and that's the way God made the entire plant kingdom practically. So that's bullfrogs and seeds. And there was an evolutionist who criticized me, go figure. And I had described on the radio a caterpillar liquefying itself and then reforming itself, which is a feat impossible for Darwinism, evolution, to accomplish. You go to school, and at school they tell you that all the animals evolved, all the bugs evolved, and people evolved from animals, so that really we're animals. Well, how does a butterfly evolve? I remember asking my teacher, how does a butterfly evolve? How would that happen? And they say, well, it just did. And what do you mean it just did? I mean, a caterpillar liquefies itself and it then reforms itself into another creature, a totally different kind of creature, one that flies. It doesn't crawl. I mean, caterpillars crawl, and they even crawl slowly. Imagine going from crawling slowly to flying and soaring above the trees that the other bugs are crawling in. And so this evolutionist criticized me in writing, and he said that, I'll quote him, "Caterpillars do not liquefy themselves, period." That's what he wrote. And that's quite a criticism. I mean, period. So I figured that everything I had learned about caterpillars must be wrong, because an evolutionist put on theologyonline.com, one of the world's most popular theology forums, which, by the way, was founded by the elders of Denver Bible Church many years ago when the web was young. And so today it's one of the leading theology forums. If you want to learn about the Bible, talk about the Bible, debate different doctrines or creation evolution, or ask for prayer, or get to know other Christians, or maybe get to know atheists and pray for them to become Christians, you go to theologyonline.com. Or if you want to make a comment on any Bob and Yurt Live radio show, you go to our website, kgov.com, and you just click on comment on the Bob and Yurt Live forum on TOL, and you're right there. And you could comment and see what other people are saying. So this evolutionist wrote, "Caterpillars do not liquefy themselves, period." So we thought, well, why don't we research it? So we went to Dr. Lincoln Brower. Dr. Lincoln Brower is the world's leading expert on monarch butterflies. He is the head honcho of head honchos of butterflies. His scientific papers have been published over a period of 50 years. And he writes this. He writes, "Enzymes are being released that digest all the caterpillar tissue so that the caterpillar is being converted into a rich culture medium. The chrysalis during the first 3 to 4 days is literally a bag of fluid that these cells are growing on. It truly is a miraculous biological process of transformation." Yes, miraculous it is. That is, the creator of the design is miraculous. The creation was miraculous. And so we think that when we say that a caterpillar liquefies itself, And that is a picture of the brilliance of our Creator God. And if God could take a bug and turn it into a beautiful flying creature, then he could take us when we trust in him and bring us to himself in heaven. We could trust him because he's the maker of bullfrogs and butterflies and seeds, a billion times over, a trillion seeds that are buried in the ground and they rise again. And Jesus said that's what we will do if we trust in him, because he was buried in the ground and he rose from the dead. So we ask evolutionists, could you give a rough description of how evolution could possibly explain a caterpillar liquefying itself? Just start right there. What would prompt some creature to release enzymes? Now, an enzyme, what's an enzyme? Sometimes you use a scientific word and people's eyes glaze over. It's not a scientific word, right? It's health food. Enzymes. Well, a protein is a little biological molecule that does amazing work. An enzyme is a protein on steroids. Not really, but an enzyme will help along a chemical reaction. Let's say you have a couple chemicals together and they react very slowly, and it would take, say, 13 years for them to combine just by themselves. An enzyme, you add an enzyme, and they combine maybe within a tenth of a second. So enzymes are catalysts that speed up biological processes, chemical reactions. So if you put a caterpillar into a cocoon and you left it there, eventually, well, it would dry out, right, if it was in Colorado. But maybe if it was in a real humid place, let's say on the Olympic Peninsula in Washington, in a rainforest there, it might not dry out. It might just become a bag of goo eventually, but it might take months. But you put digestive enzymes, so the caterpillar puts itself into this little bag hanging upside down under a leaf, so it's not likely to be seen by birds who would eat them. I mean, how did they figure out to do that? And they put themselves hanging upside down in this little bag, and then they release enzymes, digestive enzymes, so they could eat themselves. That's quite a trick. I mean, how do you do that? And they liquefy themselves. And the first time that would happen, you would think that the caterpillar will be no more, and it will not have any other little baby caterpillars to find it, because it's just dead. And for 1,000 years, all the caterpillars that tried this out and liquefied themselves, they're just dead. They're not going to survive that process to reassemble themselves into a butterfly. So we ask evolutionists, why don't you go ahead and explain? Don't give us a detailed explanation. We're not looking for that. Just in broad terms, how a caterpillar could evolve, liquefying itself and recreating itself into a butterfly. How does that happen? Evolution uses random mutations, supposedly, and small incremental changes. And then those changes eventually add up by natural selection into something amazing, we're told. Well, the chrysalis stage is an impassable gulf that small random changes cannot cross. You can't get from goo to you by a few small changes in one generation, the first generation that starts liquefying itself. You can't get there. If 10 million caterpillars started to liquefy themselves, they're just all going to die. That's it. We invite atheists, especially on our Friday shows, Real Science Friday here at Bob Inyart Live, and online at kgov.com, kgov.com, we invite atheists to spend the next 25 years or so trying to come up with a rough algorithm of how Darwinism can cross the chrysalis divide and make a butterfly. But it can't. Just like evolution can't make your fingerprints. Think about your fingerprints. evolutionists, this is what they say, and this is about as far as they take it. They say, well, evolution would produce your fingerprints because if you didn't have fingerprints, your fingers would be slippery, and when you went to pick up a stick, then the stick would slide out of your hands. So you need some kind of a tactile surface for friction. Okay, that's fine and dandy. I understand their reasoning. So that would mean that you would have rough skin, like say a dog's skin or something. But fingerprints go way, 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 way beyond rough skin. I mean, sandpaper is rough skin, right? If it were skin, you had sandpaper. And sandpaper, it doesn't have these recognizable designs and these beautiful swirls, these artistic patterns. And as you sand off sandpaper, the design changes. So if you use sandpaper for 5 minutes, you took a picture of it, 5 minutes later, you took another picture, and you say, is this the same sandpaper? It could be a billion different sandpapers. So your fingerprint system is not just for friction. It's an information management and maintenance system, and it goes so far beyond and is so completely irrelevant to any physical gripping benefit of providing ridges for tactile functionality. So fingerprints could not evolve. They could not evolve by Darwinism. They just can't evolve by mutation and natural selection. And so fingerprints, this kind of system, I'll describe it more in a moment, what it has to do. It has no survival value in the wild. No survival value. And if it doesn't help you survive, survival of the fittest, natural selection, what that means is then Darwinism can't even begin to describe fingerprints, and it cannot. Think about your fingerprints. The system that designs our fingerprints, it makes different fingerprints for every single human being, and there are billions of us in the world. What's the number of people in the world? What's the world's population? It's over 6 billion people, right? Over 6 billion people. Not only does this information management system give each of us a unique design in our fingerprints, but unlike random static, say on a TV screen, let's say you look at a TV screen and there's static, and then you look at it a second later, you notice there's a different static. It's just, it's too random for us to recognize in any useful sense. Today we use computers, which enable us to do just amazing things. But before computers, human beings would look at fingerprints on a piece of paper, a card at the police station, and they would be able to recognize the patterns. And they would go through sometimes thousands of cards of fingerprints of suspected criminals, known criminals, and they'd find the one that matches in the blood of a victim at a crime scene. Our fingerprints vary the design in noticeable and definable patterns. The system produces raised surfaces that consist primarily of continuous curved lines. The system produces basically non-intersecting pathways, if you look at your fingerprints, that create clean patterns without crossed lines. The system will begin to implement the unique prints early, early, early in the development of a baby in the womb. In the first trimester, a baby is sucking his thumb and playing with his toes. They look at babies in the womb if a baby dies in a miscarriage, and they see the baby has fingerprints. When the baby's born, they take the baby's fingerprints and toe prints, and they stay the same through your whole life. The fingerprints, they scale. That is, they grow. They get bigger as the baby's tiny fingertips become larger, and that becomes a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 14-year-old, and then a 58-year-old. And our fingerprints grow larger as we grow into adulthood. And then the system that draws this design, it maintains it even through most of our injuries to fingertips. And remember John Dillinger, wasn't he the one who put acid on his fingers to hide his identity? And after he was shot down by the FBI in front of a hotel, and they took his body and they fingerprinted him three different times, his fingerprints reemerged. They reemerged. Darwinism isn't going to go through all that trouble to help you grip a stick. This is overwhelming evidence that we're looking at the fingerprint of God. We're looking at the fingerprint of God on all of creation, in every direction, wherever we look, from the heavens to the sunsets, to the fields of grain, to the wondrous animals, to our dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, our family members. We can see the handiwork of God. When a woman is pregnant with a baby, that baby is evidence to us that God is an optimist. Every baby is evidence that God is an optimist, and there is hope. There's hope for everyone while they're alive, because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to live, and then the judgment. So we're going to miss our dear friend who's gone on to be with the Lord, but we look forward to the time when we see him again, and we're so thankful that God has given us his word, the Bible. But he didn't only write the Bible as Isaac Newton and Galileo, all these great scientists like Johann Kepler, as they like to say, God wrote the Bible, and he also wrote the natural laws, the physical universe. It all points to him, just as our conscience inside of us points to him, that we know right from wrong. We know right from wrong, which tells us that there is a God. There is a God, the source of all goodness and truth, and he's the one who wants us to trust in him. And we know right from wrong, so don't do wrong. Obey mom and pops, grandma and pops, and submit yourselves one to another. Love the Lord, and I look forward to the rest of this week, and especially Real Science Friday. May God bless you guys.